You have your Bibles. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 3 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, so they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she's a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word might have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant. May he handle it in a way that communicates it clearly. Teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is part three because we're working our way through a portion of 1 Peter with challenge after challenge. You may remember back in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, we were challenged to keep your behavior excellent. Live lives of such quality and consistency so that when you have opportunity to speak of your faith, it rings true. The last thing we want to do is say something about our faith and have someone look at us and say, "You're a Christian?" That ought not to happen. And then secondly, submit to every human institution. We need to be good citizens. And if and when we're ever called upon to an act of civil disobedience because it violates God's word, we need to have the courage to do that. But until then, our citizenship should be an example to those around us. And then last week, we looked at the challenge, finishing up chapter 2, servants, be submissive to your masters. You may remember that Christ was our example. Even as he was arrested, as he was tortured, as he was placed upon the cross, it was clear over and over again that he was submitting to the will of the Father and he was trusting himself to him. And so he is our example. And to what end? Remember that funny word that I assured you it really was a word? Winsomeness. Again, living a life that doesn't point others to yourself or to the church you go to, but to your Lord and Savior, to Jesus Christ. Now, at each level, the apostle got a little more intimate, beginning with the general expectation that we behave ourselves. And then with regards to human institution and at work. But now he gets truly intimate. And he enters the world of spouses, wives and husbands. Because you see, I can hide some things from the world around me. I can hide some things from the government if I choose. I can hide some things from fellow employees or even my employer at work. But I cannot hide anything from my wife. It's who we are. And they see us, warts and all. And so now the challenge is to live our godly lives at home with the ones who know us best. Now I can hear it coming already. The wheels were spinning. If you didn't look at this beforehand, if you were just reading it while we were, when we read it just a little bit ago, I know some of you are thinking, I've been waiting for this one. Seven verses about spouses, six of them about wives. What does that tell you? Well, let me tell you. Little hint. She plays a key role. The challenge, verses 1 and 2, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, I want to underline one word here. Own. This is not a verse you go to tell women you must submit to the men. Because that's not what this says. And try as you might, you won't find one that says that. Wives, submit to your own husbands. This is a command, not a suggestion, and it's an opportunity. As Peter is writing this, it would not have been uncommon for the folks hearing this in a church, in a meeting, where there would be women, believers, with unbelieving husbands. Why? Because she married an unbeliever? Could be, but more likely, she was saved first. Now, don't tell Marilyn, but they tend to be smarter, guys, and figure things out quicker than we do. So it wouldn't have been uncommon when the gospel came into the into a community that wives were responding to God's gift of salvation in the finished work of Christ. So now she has an unbelieving husband. But what's Peter's encouragement? What is the challenge? Submit to him. Why? Because a godly woman's life can soften even the stoniest man's heart without a word. And so I don't let anyone off the hook, myself included. This principle also applies not only to the unbelieving husband, But to the careless, thoughtless, straying, I'm not talking about infidelity, I'm just talking about straying from God's word, ignoring God's word in some way, a faithful, obedient, submissive wife has opportunity after opportunity to live before her husband and draw him back to where he should be. And often, without a word, just by her example. Now he says in verses 3 and 4, your adornment must not be merely external. He's not saying, don't fix things up from time to time. He's just saying that that shouldn't be the focus. Notice he says, with the imperishable quality of a gentle spirit. Imperishable quality or unfading beauty. Age takes a toll on all of us. Sometimes we can cover it up, but it still takes its toll. Women tend to be more concerned about that than men. That is not because age takes a greater toll on them. Although some of us have been rather difficult on our wives, they're just more concerned about it and tend to want to take care of that, cover it up. Whereas that gentle and quiet spirit, that's an imperishable quality. That's an unfading beauty. That never goes away. It's always there. And notice he says it's precious in the sight of God. So ladies, Sunday morning, heading off to church. Yeah, you stop in the mirror, you look, you check, you make whatever adjustments you want to. But at some point, ask yourself, where's my heart today? Yeah, I've put stuff together so I don't turn anybody off. But have I prepared my heart for serving and being served? Loving, being loved? It's precious in the sight of God. We have examples, verses 5 and 6. There would have been in Scripture, and you can look through your Old Testament in particular, and find general personal examples of women who lived godly lives. But verse 6 says, think specifically about Sarah. And you notice, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Try that at home, at a distance. But let me tell you this, when Abraham called Sarah, Sarah, oh, Sarah, what was he saying? Princess. I have a feeling, guys, if you called your wife, treated your wife like a princess, she might be a little more inclined to refer to you as Lord. But with that comes, Lord, comes the understanding a protector, provider. It's not just a term of exaltation. There's responsibility that goes right along with that. So don't give way to fear. Even when your husband gets it wrong, and Abraham did at least twice that we know of, but Sarah went along, even when she knew that Abraham was taking a left turn, Why? Peter says, because she trusted her heavenly Father. She was trusting God. She knew that he was sovereign. He was the one in ultimate control. To that husband, wives, to that kind of a husband, you can submit. Now, husbands, you're not off the hook. I'm not off the hook. To begin with, he says, live with your wives in an understanding way. You say, you've got to be kidding. Understanding her? Well, you know what that means? That means you need to, I need to become a student of my wife. And we have been married over 45 years. And not too long ago, I found out, I learned for the first time that Marilyn does not like hard-boiled eggs after a day or two. And see, all this time, I would fix them and I'd put them in the refrigerator. I'd eat them. I didn't care how old they were or for how long. I mean, they're hard-boiled eggs. They're cooked. They're in the refrigerator. I'd say, I kind of tend that way anyway. If it's cooked and it's in the refrigerator, it's got to be all right. Next time you're invited to our home for a meal, make sure you know who's cooking. Now that, a little thing, but that's what happens when you continue to study your wife, to listen, to learn. Then he says, as with someone weaker, since she's a woman. And he didn't say it that way. This is a cultural challenge. You need to put this in context. When Peter is writing this, wives were owned. Wives were treated as personal property by their husbands. Wives were almost always responsible for producing and caring for the children. And for many men, that was the end of it. They could mistreat them however they wished, use them however they wished, and no one was going to object. So when we read things like this, ladies, when you read things like this, don't think in terms of Peter and Paul putting women down. They are elevating women. As they tell husbands to care for them. Weaker does not mean less valuable. Weaker just recognizes the position and the place that they have. Fine china does not bounce off of kitchen tile like Melmac. But which is of greater value? Weaker does not mean less value. And then he ups the ante when he says, show her honor as a fellow heir of grace. Paul put it this way, before God, before Christ, there's no male, no female, no free, no bond, no Jew, no Gentile. We all stand before the cross in need of a Savior. We leave all having received his grace and mercy. All of us. She is not inferior. She is not less than. She's a fellow heir of the grace of God. And here it is, gentlemen. Here's why this is all so important. Last part of verse 7. So that your prayers will not be hindered. And let me suggest that maybe you start back up at verses 1 and 2. Every once in a while, a guy gets it first. Again, the gospel comes into the community. Maybe he hears the gospel first. Maybe they're together and he responds first. But he becomes a believer and she's an unbeliever. What would you want to do? You'd want to be praying for her salvation. What's Peter saying? Treat her well. Treat her like who she is. And see if she doesn't come along. And then apply that to all the other praying that you do. If you ignore, disregard your wife, don't be surprised if it feels like God's not listening. You're asking him to do something when he's already told you to do something and you're not doing it. It's not that he doesn't hear. You just don't like how he's responding. If it feels like God's not listening to you, guys, ask yourself, am I listening to my wife? How am I treating her? Does she know how special she is? Keep your behavior excellent. Submit to every human institution. Be submissive to your masters or your employers. And wives and husbands, submit. Submit to the needs and gifts of each. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly so that you can use it however you wish in our hearts and in our lives. I stand here, Father, looking at these folks, and I see men and women, I see husbands and wives who are great examples. Oh, they're not perfect, and they all know there are things they can work on. But Father, they are wonderful examples, and I thank you for them. And if, as we reviewed this morning, there's an area they think they need to work on, great. May we be the men and women, may we be the husbands, the wives that you've called us to be, both for the spiritual betterment of the other, but then for the impact that we will have upon our children, upon our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, as we try in our halting and imperfect way to live obediently before you. Thank you for speaking to us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.